Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
A warm welcome to all listeners. My name is Tony Coppell, and my wife, Laurianne, and I have been here every Thursday at this time for the last 33 weeks, bringing you the voices of people we admire in Worcester and some other places. Tonight, we have two. A man who has truly discovered his purpose in life, and a young lady who at a tender age has a good perspective on our Christian faith as she experiences it and tells others about it. First then, Johan LaRue. Johan LaRue lives in Worcester. For 11 months, every time we have gone into Worcester Christian Church, he has come and welcomed us with a hug. There hasn't been a single service that we've gone that he hasn't done that. And I just want you to meet this man of God. Johan, are you happy?
I'm always happy. I really, because when the Lord is part of your life, you can't be something else. You must be happy. And yeah, I believe I'm a happy guy, yeah.
Now, I don't think that we're the only people that you welcome into church. That wouldn't be very logical. But you're the only person I've met so consistent in your welcome. Why do you do it?
I believe that we are all part of one big family. And when I haven't seen my sister or my brother for even a day, I'm starting missing them. And the logical thing for me to do is when I see my brothers and my sisters is to just hug them and say, welcome, I've missed you, and how are you? And yeah, and I believe that is the way to go. We must do that.
You mentioned family. Just tell me a little bit about your family.
My close family exists of two sons. And my wife went home to the Lord about 8 years ago. Yeah, and that is my close family. But I don't see that as my only family. My family is actually about 1,000 people just in Worcester. It's every child of God, and even the ones that is not the child of God, that he can or she can, is actually also my family. It's just one that I don't know at that stage, or that don't know Papa. So it's still your family.
Let's go back probably quite a long way in history. Did Christ find you, or did you find him?
No. My wife was a reborn Christian for as long as I can remember. She was a child of God. I don't want anything to do with God for a long time in my life. And then I'm going to give you a short explanation of what happened and how the Lord, I was in a corner and I could do nothing else but to take him. Satan came to me one night, and he was standing by the end of my bed. And he was talking to me, and he told me that you, Johan, are right, there's no God. And I realized, but if you are here, there must be a God. And I wake up my wife, she prayed, and she done everything. And I woke her up and I say, yeah, you must pray for me now. And the next day I went to see the pastor and I gave my heart to God, and that was the beginning of my life.
You know, it's almost comical that you completely turned Satan around so that he did good. Oh, I never heard of such a thing before.
His agreement made him lose that fight.
Now, again, I'd like just to give our listeners a little background on what kind of a person you are. Just briefly tell us the kind of activities that you've had in your life, some of the things you've done, and what you're doing right now.
Right after matric, I went into the correctional services. I was working there for 20 years. And then I was laid off. And at the moment, I keep myself, or from that day, I just kept myself busy with everything that the Lord gave to me. Because I don't move my little finger if God is not moving with me. And that saved me from a lot of heartaches and troubles. Because once you do that, once you get to a point where you do nothing if He don't do it with you, nothing can happen to you. Because He's there. He's already there. So yeah, at the moment I'm doing that, and there's a lot of new plans that I have from that the Lord already is opening doors for. And yeah, it's just promising.
Everybody, as we go through life, are faced with many decisions, unless you're in prison, where unfortunately you're not faced with enough decisions. But and you'll know that from your background. Yeah. But we, all of us, need a place we go when we need to the wisdom to make the right decision. I'm pretty sure I know what your answer is, but where do you find wisdom? And after that, where do you find love particularly?
I find wisdom, and I know some people think it's a cliche at this moment of time, but I find wisdom on my knees. If I need anything, I'll go to the Lord. And then what I do is I ask for confirmation. Because so easily can you are thinking about going to, for example, to Paul. And now you ask the Lord, and I think all of them of us did it once or twice in our life. Lord, I'm going to Paul now, bless me. That's the wrong way around. You can't tell him you are going there, he must bless you. I want confirmation that he wants me to go to Paul. So I'll go to somebody like Johan, the pastor, the church people there, like you, Tony, and say, listen, I am going, please pray for me, because that's where we get our answers. And make sure if you do that, it's people that you know that's going to pray. Because it's a pity, but you get people saying, I will pray for you, and they know, and they don't. So yeah, make sure you go to the right people. And that is in your friendship circle, they are there. Yeah. And ask them, and God will come through. He will give you, and that is where I get my answers.
So that's wisdom. But the other thing we all need, like blood in our veins, is love. And I ask this knowing that your wife has passed away.
Yeah, yeah. I've never, ever experienced love. I'm not talking about the love that I have for my wife. I'm talking about the love I have for Tony here. And so that love you get from union, the church, the other sisters and brothers in Jesus, that's where I get that love from. And you get love when you give love. Love is not a one-way street. It's two-way. Give it and you will get it back.
Let's change the subject dramatically. How do you feel about your country, South Africa?
I believe that South Africa is in a very difficult time now. But I'm not giving up on South Africa. South Africa South Africa is ripe for God to, how can I say it, to come through. And as long as God's children is keeping on their knees and praying and praying and praying, South Africa will be turned around. The moment we turn around to God and keep take our eyes away from what's going on around, that's small things. The moment that happens, South Africa is back where it belongs. It's back to God.
We've talked about some sublime things. But when you want to relax for half a day, what do you turn to?
Okay. Place where, when I try to relax, I want to get to a place where I can just be on my own and be close to God. Because real relaxation comes from contact with God, according to me. So I will go to the dam or to the sea, because there I'm as close as to my God as I can come. If you sit there and you watch the water and you watch the expanse of that water, there's no place for me that shows His greatness and relax me more than being there and just lying there, doing nothing, just lying there and say, "Papa, please," and just talk to Him, like the two of us are talking now.
We live in a world where everybody's rushing all the time, but my sense of you is that you've overcome that particular scourge, and that you can just do nothing and not feel out of whack with the world. Am I right?
Yeah, you are right. There's nothing that pushes me. A mind change, I think, or a switch that I think we must have. Once in a while, just realize that even if you run around the whole day, you can change nothing that God hasn't put out for that day. You can do nothing. So just relax and go along with it. And then you will see nothing will bother you. Nothing can bother you because you are moving in His pace. He don't want us to run around like madmen and going mad. He don't want that. That I believe that's not His idea. He made Adam and Eve, and they were calm and in the garden, and the wind was blowing softly, and He was walking with them. And I'm sure He didn't run with them. So, yeah, just be like that. Just go.
As you were bringing up your boys, what are the values that you wanted to instill in them that you thought would keep them in life?
First of all, love for God. At that stage, like I said, I wasn't saved. When my oldest son was born, but my wife gave him that background. And that is the one thing. But the main thing, the other thing is love, 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 love for everybody. You mustn't hate. Hate is from the devil. Love. The moment you love, you are loved back. That was the main thing. And then also you work to eat. You must work. You must work for God. You must. So work is a main. That work ethic is a main thing for me. You must be true to your boss, to your God. He's not my boss, but you know what I mean, my earthly boss. You give 100% in everything or you leave it. If you don't give 100%, just leave it. Don't start it even.
Johan, what is the meaning of life?
The meaning of life for me is showing people, is to show to show God to people. If I can't tell you, you must see it in the way I handle you. That's the meaning of life for me. Not just to get 100 to 100 years or what age. That's nothing. That's just existing. The meaning of life is getting people to know Jesus. That is why I believe we are put on this earth, to make great His name.
My guest has been Johan LaRue, and I'm extremely privileged to have had him on our program. And I just want to go and listen to this interview over and over again. I'm going to introduce you to a young lady called Chantelle, and she has been coming on a mailbox club called Explorers 2, and she's been coming to our house for about 3 months each Saturday afternoon. Chantelle, why did you decide that you would like to come on this course in the first place? Do you remember?
Yes, I want to decide to take on this course because I want to learn more about Jesus and how did He die for us, our sins, and I like Jesus and I want to learn more about Him.
I'm sure that's absolutely true, but there was another reason that I wanted you on the course.
Yes, to train the leaders.
So that you can teach younger children.
Yes, to learn more about Jesus.
Yes, for them. Yes. So let's hear a little bit about, did you find the course was answering your questions?
Yes.
And did you find it nice to come? Did you look forward to it?
Yes.
Good. Because there may be somebody that hears this and they're wondering if they would go on a mailbox club course.
Oh, yes.
What sort of things did you learn on the course then? Anything particular that you really remember?
I learned about the memory verse and we write about Jesus and you know more about Jesus and something like that in the Bible club.
And I think Jesus is very important to you.
Yes, very important to me.
How long is it since you first started following Jesus?
When I was the first of the 3 months there at your house, then I said, oh, why Jesus? I don't know Jesus, and so I knew Him, but like really not. I didn't know Jesus, but when I come to the mailbox club, then I knew Him. Like I don't, is it my Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and so on.
So how do you feel about being a teacher now, or leading a group, and introducing lots of other children to Jesus? How do you feel about that?
I feel very excited about it. I want to learn the children.
Oh,
hi.
Hey,
Marco. You are okay because I saw your car standing here.
I'm interviewing her for the radio show. How about you?
Sorry. Okay.
Because I had Marco on the program. So that's very interesting. I thought they'd all gone to De Dorn's now. Didn't expect to see them. Uh-huh. He was looking out for me because he saw my car here. So Chantelle, you've been living here in Avian Park all your life, I think.
But not so. I'm from OVD.
You're from OVD?
Yes.
So how long have you been here in Avian Park?
8 years.
And how did you find it? Do you enjoy it? Are you
yes.
having a good life here?
Yes.
Are you hungry?
No, Tony. No.
I don't mean right now. I mean, are you often hungry?
Yes.
Because I've noticed that many of the children are hungry. What's that like? To live with hunger all the time.
You must speak about that and you must give the children bread. If you can see, like for example, Mom, I'm now hungry. No. And I see the children here in Avian Park. Then I said to you, when I grow up, I'm going to take the children here in Avian Park and I'm going to give them. If I don't have, I said, no, I don't have.
And there are other things which you didn't mention, but Avian Park, there are guns here, and there are gangs. Have you ever heard guns going off here?
Yes.
What do you think's going on when you hear the guns?
The gang is here, they are doing just like guns. They skip.
Why do you think they're doing that?
I don't think so. Why don't they?
Because there are a lot of people who live here who are having a very tough situation, I think. But you're managing to live a reasonable life despite that.
Yes.
I think you have a good family to look after you.
Yes.
I think that's it. And I just met your mother. What's her name?
Maria. We call her Baba. Nickname is Baba.
Well, I think she's a good woman because she's brought you up well.
Yes.
Yes, this is true. Going back to the course that you just finished, did you enjoy being with the other girls and learning with the other girls?
Yes.
It was a good group, wasn't it?
Yes.
We enjoyed having them up. We really did. It was. Mm. We had a lot of fun, and I think Lorianne and I enjoyed very much having the group. And there were some of you that came almost every time.
Yes.
And you were one of those.
Yes.
Some others came for some of it, but because they had to go somewhere with their parents or whatever, then they weren't able to come all the time. So this Monday, we're going to be splitting the group of young children who were coming out to the library and putting them into different homes just for the afternoon session, and you're going to be leading one of them. So you're looking forward to doing that?
Yes, then.
Why do you think it's important for young children to hear about Jesus?
When they grow up, they can learn more about Jesus, and they they are interested about Jesus. They want to know more about him. He is the Lord. He died for our sins.
When they've been growing up, maybe they were quite young, quite small. Yeah. When do you think they first heard about him?
When I teach him.
That'll be their first introduction, will be when you teach them.
Yes.
So most of the children here in Avian Park probably don't know much about him.
No.
So that's why it's so important. You're going to be doing vital work.
Yes.
I'm very proud of you, Chantal. I really am.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And we'll talk as the course progresses. We'll talk again and we'll hear how things are going. And when we've finished one course, then we'll all get together and we'll decide what's coming next. And probably we'll do another course from the Mailbox Club.
Yes.
And you'll have another group of children coming by.
Yes.
Now, here's what's particularly exciting. You'll be able to notice if one of those children could be a leader for another Mailbox Club. So yes. I'll be looking forward to you telling us who are the ones that have the necessary understanding to be a leader, just like you.
Yes, Tony.
Good. All right, this is really good.
Yes, Tony.
Thank you for talking to me, Chantal. And okay. I'll let you know when you'll be able to hear this on the radio.
It's a pleasure, Tony.
Okay. God bless you.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in Gratitude, Paradox and Ministry. My name is Lorianne, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During the last broadcast, we discovered that we grow strong in our faith when we eliminate negativity and complaining in our lives through a lifestyle of thankfulness and gratitude. In February 2015, I attempted to go on a negativity fast for Lent, and for the most part, it was successful. However, there were definitely some challenges. After I declared that this was a fast for God, there were everyday challenges that seemed more like an uphill battle. And then there were the other difficulties that made some days seem like screaming days. You know those days. These difficulties were exacerbated by other factors. These included menopausal roller coaster hormones, financial stretching, an overlapping schedule with different ministries, a lack of sleep, and even more important, I felt like my life was stuck behind a giant pause button. You've heard me mention this pause button before. I've spoken about my struggle of feeling like I was on pause in an earlier broadcast. Basically, it felt like continual frustration, so I needed help to stay positive. During that time, I had to lean very heavily on the Lord for extra grace. I had to believe, along with Apostle Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians, that God's grace is sufficient for me, for God's power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Thankfully, the menopausal issues were finally settled while living as a long-term missionary in South Africa. The cup of thanksgiving overflows. Some of the people around me could see my initial efforts as wimpy. Many full-time missioners and missionaries often minister no matter how tired they feel. Many workers in the secular world work very long hours, as I did in the radio broadcasting world as well. I am not one for encouraging burnout, for we all need Sabbath times of rest. I also require naps, just to keep creatively fresh in drawing and writing. That's just how my body reacts, so I work with it. Yet sometimes we are simply worn out, not by work, but by complaining, bitterness, and negative attitudes. Even if you're around someone who nags, it brings you down. Just look at Proverbs 27 verses 15 to 16 and similar proverbs. A quarrelsome wife is as annoying as a constant dripping on a rainy day. Stopping her complaints is like trying to stop the wind or trying to hold on to something with greased hands. If you are enduring continual complaint or you are personally in that kind of mode, this wears you down. However, when you give thanks in all things, as the Apostle Paul encourages us to do in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, your cup is no longer half empty like the pessimist. Your cup actually becomes more full than the optimist's half full glass. How does that work? Well, it's like it overflows with goodness, like an overflowing glass. How is that possible? If you look at the glass, it's not just about perspective, although thinking positively does include seeing life through different eyes. It's actually about the more, in parentheses, that we miss if we only see through natural vision. We're missing something. The more comes not only through the natural, but through God Himself. The eyes of a thankful Christian are open to what God is doing in us and around us. This is not just a human thing, it's a supernatural thing. Your eyes become open to the more. This is how the cup turns from being half full to overflowing. The psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 5, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." The overflowing cup is a symbol of being so full of the Holy Spirit that God's glory and love easily spill out of you. That's exactly the time that God works through you, because it is clear that you are more than the natural you. Cup of suffering and joy. Our cup is also a cup of Jesus' pain and suffering. The Apostle Paul asks us in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ?" Paul also writes in Philippians 3 verse 10 about sharing the fellowship of Christ's suffering as part of truly knowing Him. How do you fit gratitude and suffering in the same cup? Is this even possible? How can we experience joy in the midst of suffering? How can we encounter God's glory in the midst of suffering? Are we even willing to suffer alongside Christ? This cup of suffering is what Jesus drank when He died for us. The gospel writers of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all share about this cup. While most of us don't go through crucifixion as Jesus did, we do encounter times of suffering and difficulty. Sometimes our faith in Jesus Christ and ministry for Him brings persecution from people of other faiths as well as in the church. Jesus walks alongside us and He carries us through these difficulties. He's been there. When we thank Him in the midst of difficulties, we acknowledge His presence. We can then allow Him to work in our hearts despite the refining fire of challenges. While the suffering is like a fire, we can still have peace in our hearts.
We aren't suffering alone. Jesus is with us. Suffering and gratitude. Suffering can make us bitter, or it can cause us to grow. If we keep a good attitude of thankfulness, the suffering actually refines us. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 5, verses 3 to 4, that it takes us through a process which builds in us perseverance, character, and hope. If you keep thankful in such circumstances, this helps keep your eyes centered on what God is doing in your life. The refining process actually is circular. We start with thankfulness, and we end up in even deeper gratitude. Thankfulness acknowledges who God is and how He is working in your life despite the difficulties. Gratitude is the growing state of your heart as God uses the refining process to create good soil. This good soil is the same believing, faithful heart that Jesus refers to in the parable of the sower in Mark 4, verses 3 to 20. A few years ago, my husband and I returned from a trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. We spent special time with our dear family in the Iris Virginia Church. The visiting worship leader, Jonathan David Vitit, prophesied over me that I was like a spiritual Miracle-Gro. Miracle-Gro is a brand of plant fertilizer. He told me that because I had not allowed my heart to become bitter, despite the, in italics, crap in my life, God was using the process of overcoming these experiences to create fertile soil. He would use these experiences to help others overcome similar difficulties. God would use me as a cheerleader for others' dreams because I had been there. In the moments Jonathan shared, I had a profound sense of gratitude for God. He was indeed working out the messes in my life in such a way to bring Him glory. How do we develop a heart of gratitude? Well, perhaps the best way is by disciplining ourselves to stay thankful no matter what we encounter. Gratitude becomes a growing response that we can develop, and God deepens His imprint in our lives. Our eyes and ears become increasingly more open to His love and blessings, and our faith and compassion for others deepens. We begin to develop a fruit of gratitude as we believe God's promises and grow more thankful. This is similar to how one develops the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? They are listed in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control can also be called temperance. We grow in response to what God is doing in our lives. If we keep a good attitude, then we are thankful, and this strengthens our spiritual growth. Henry Nouwen taught that when we encounter the fruit of the Spirit in others, we actually experience them as gifts. We are blessed when we meet someone filled with joy like Supresa Satole. We are thankful when we meet someone filled with gentleness like Kevin, who ministers with us in the Riverview Township. Uncle Kevin makes all the kids feel safe. Kids and adults alike feel loved and noticed when I smile at them. They authentically feel loved. Boredom cannot take hold in our lives if we are continually surprised by new manifestations of the life of God. When we make praise and thankfulness a lifestyle, life is definitely not routine. Then all of life becomes a reason for saying thanks. That way, fruitfulness and gratitude can never be separated. This means that gratitude flows from the recognition of all that is. It is a divine gift born of love. It is freely given to us so that we may offer thanks and share it with others. Paradox of gratitude, suffering, and ministry. How to have a good day. Or as they say in Afrikaans, 'A wonderlijker dag.' So gratitude grows despite the paradox. Due to the presence of the Holy Spirit, gratitude can grow deeper alongside the paradox of suffering and joy. Earlier I mentioned about people working tirelessly despite having difficult circumstances. Some people could call that having a bad day, but they still press on with what they have to do. Iris-based leader Supresa Satole believes that it is always possible to have a good day despite the circumstances. He passed this belief on to missionaries Roland and Heidi Baker. Roland shares, "One day, we were running a bush outreach meeting in Malawi with Supresa. On this day, Supresa delivered what was, for me, his most memorable sermon. Malawi had been in a famine for most of the year. The crops had failed. It was extremely hot, almost 50 degrees Celsius. The people hadn't had any proper food in months. A lot of people were sick, and the bubonic plague had just come to this particular village. Sapresa's sermon that day was entitled, How to Have a Good Day. No matter where we are or how bleak the circumstances, Sapresa always has the best day of his life. Irrepressible joy like this culturally clashes with much of the church. Roland didn't like it himself for a long time, but now he thrives in passing on joy to joy-challenged people. I once was one of these joy-challenged recipients. What I've learned, though, is that we minister best to others out of the places where God has ministered to us in our own lives. When God works in us to produce a miracle, we can minister that miracle also to others. God has given Sapresa the gift of joy. When he ministers, the Lord uses this joy supernaturally to touch others. Some might think it inappropriate. Actually, sometimes it is entirely inappropriate. However, he brings an authentic expression of joy to those who have none, and then Jesus then produces joy in them. So Roland speaks to us, think about what Jesus has done in your life and how you express it to others, sharing his blessing. Gratitude and miracle grow. Sapresa has grown in the paradox of suffering and joy through thankfulness and gratitude to the Lord. Just read his biography, Voice in the Night. I couldn't put it down, and I'm sure you'll love the book as well. Gratitude shines out of everything Sapresa does in ministry. Heidi Baker is very similar when she shares her stories. When you hear Heidi share at the end of the Compelled by Love film, she looks over her life in ministry and says that she is so grateful to Jesus for all he has done. Heidi is grateful in their ministry and generally for Jesus' sacrifice and love for all of us. Earlier, I mentioned Jonathan David Petit's prophetic encouragement over me. He said that I was becoming like Miracle-Gro super fertilizer. The core of turning difficulty into fertilizer for others is gratitude as well as forgiveness. When you have gratitude in the midst of difficulties, outreach, and ministry, it turns your experiences into fertile soil. Nothing is wasted in these conditions. This is one of the keys of the persecuted church that connects joy and suffering. Have you ever wondered why the persecuted church grows so quickly? This is why. I mentioned the author Henry Nouwen earlier in the broadcast. I had the privilege of meeting him when I was a University of Toronto student. He spoke at St. Michael's College and shared that we must put our brokenness under the Lord's blessing. What he meant by this is that Jesus heals our wounds, then ministers through them to others. Jesus embraces all of our lives, the sorrow, the joy, and every moment. Nothing is separate from God. Nouwen shares from his book, All is Grace, that Jesus calls us to recognize that gladness and sadness are never separate. Joy and sorrow really belong together. The mourning and dancing are part of the same movement. This is why Jesus calls us to be grateful for every moment that we have lived and to claim our unique journey as God's way to mold our hearts to greater conformity with his own. The cross is the main symbol of our faith, and it invites us to find hope where we see pain and to reaffirm the resurrection where we see death. The call to be grateful is a call to trust that every moment of our life can be claimed as the way of the cross that leads us to new life. So gratitude actually directs us to where the Father would lead. Gratitude keeps our eyes on God. He leads us into action, and he leads us into rest. It all depends on the season he puts us in. That is the paradox. Suffering and joy? Gratitude in the midst of difficulties? Can we even figure out thankfulness and gratitude? Not entirely, but I have spent 5 broadcasts on thankfulness and gratitude. One can easily write a PhD dissertation on the topic. It is one that goes well beyond a feeling of being blessed to being carried into what God has for us. Gratitude should be unending because our faith journey does not stop. Jesus is always leading us somewhere. This is just like the journey of the Pevensey family as they finally come to Aslan's country at the end of C.S. Lewis's Narnia Chronicles. They were encouraged to go farther in and farther up in their journey of joy. Lord, thank you for your journey into gratitude. I ask that you teach us what that means. Thank you for your opportunities to reach out with a strange mixture of joy in the midst of pain. Sometimes it's our pain, other times it's shared in the whole community. But always you are there, and always you are faithful. Please give us wonderful little surprises just because. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
tears may fall, my song will rise, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. Though the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
And you heard there, as part of Ways to Grow in God, Kevin Prosh with Thanks Lord, followed by the Rend Collective with The Joy of the Lord. We like a band called Kaleidoscope, and we saw them play live at the Nye Festival at the Leipzig Estate, and chatted to them and bought their album. So we were quite excited to see that they're coming back into this area. Shortly on Friday, October the 19th, they'll be in Robertson, 6:30 in the evening at the Vidurum Boutique Winery. And the next day on Saturday, 20th of October at 2 p.m., they'll be in Durchluf Lodge in Pahl on the N1 between Pahl and Worcester. So check them out, folks. Here's something to encourage you to do that. Here's a few songs to take us up to the end of this show. And I hope you'll enjoy. I know you'll enjoy them. So I'll say goodbye. Lorianne, say goodbye. And we'll talk to you again a week from now when my guest will be Elisma Berlin, who is the marketing manager for the Pioneer School for the Visually Impaired here in Worcester, a very famous organization. You don't want to miss that program. We'll be right back.
din naar op op zoek naar. Mij wil jou nu ontmoet. Jij het stijf onder mij zijn bril in gekruid. Ook in mijn hart wat ik moest groeien. Ik zal die kouder hier met die man aanvat net voor jou. So, vervoedig trippel jij, die panus van mijn hart in de stiek. Voetsporen, waar jij achterlaat. En voor ik je kan keer, wil jij in mijn gedachten rond. Je huis is waar je hart is, mag je hart is, voel hier bij mij. Die man lucht door je val. Kan ik niet veel anders als om in jou twee te verdwaal. Dier kamers van mijn hart in de diep voetsporen dat jij achterlaat. En voor ik je kan keer, wil jij in mijn gedachten rond. Je huis is waar je hart is, mag je hart eens voelen hier bij mij.
Wat in mij zal pas. Je voelt mij weten. started out as a feeling, which then grew into a hope, which then turned into a quiet thought, which then turned into a quiet word. And then that word grew louder and louder, till it was a battle cry. I'll come back when they call me. No need to say goodbye. Just because everything's changing doesn't mean it's never been this way before. All you can do is try to know who your friends are when you head off to the war. Pick a star on a dark horizon and follow the light. You'll come back when it's over. No need to say goodbye. Say goodbye. Now we're back at the beginning. It's just a feeling and no one knows yet. Just because they can't feel it too doesn't mean you have to forget. Let your memories grow stronger and stronger till they're before your eyes. You'll come back when they call you. No need say goodbye. You'll come back when they call you. No need to say goodbye. Chapter of our correspondence. I hope that after time has passed, you can remember me with fondness. I think as I am thinking now of all the pages that have seen us, laid out unending in between us, how we can walk ground. I know my fate, I do not need to fight, but you tread softly on the ground tonight. Tread softly on the words you used to write. And Gabriel, I see you there, the day I met you. If you could see what they
Gabriel, I wish that I could pick you up and fold you like a ribbon. I'll keep you always and in secret in the pockets of my clothes. But this is how I live my life, with all the parts that I've been given. This is the heart that I've been given, and what you've given can be sold. I see my future in an evening dress, all wrapped in tapestry and fur, I guess. Remember me the way you knew.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.